Good morning. Today is Wednesday, December the 4th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Madrone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
Are you having fun?
Oh, you betcha.
All right. Well, that's, before we have too much fun, let's get into our why do we say that. Know the ropes. Where do we get the expression to know the ropes?
Well, if you're climbing around up in the trees, you darn well better know the ropes, I guess. So.
From sailing.
Huh? There we go. Sure.
The original allusion was to an experienced sailor who knew the ropes aboard the ship. But the current allusion is to ropes or wires used by wire pullers.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Obscuro.
The nautical one made sense.
Absolutely.
Know the ropes, yeah. Absolutely. Particularly with some of the rigging that some of those old clipper ships had.
Oh, yeah.
Last time we got together, I was in the overflow room.
Yes, sir.
At the Planning Commission and meeting, and you kind of popped in for a couple minutes, I guess, to watch the big TV.
Yeah. I was looking for the popcorn.
Yeah. And then kind of skedaddled out. It kind of triggered in my mind, because a lot of people, I don't think, understand the process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even if they are meeting geeks.
Yep.
Okay, so they'll show up to a supervisor's meeting.
Sure.
So now it's now limited at 135,000 people to about five.
Yeah, although we're going to do a different venue. Yes.
But in general terms, you know, if you go to a supervisor's meeting, okay, you see the end product being discussed.
Yeah.
You go to a commission or a committee meeting, yeah, it might kind of get a little bit of a sense, but it's pretty much fait accompli at that point, fine-tuning mm-hmm. and staff having questions and going back and forth. But you don't see what goes into mm-hmm. the document, the presentation that is the agenda item.
Yeah.
Do you think we understand or appreciate what some of that really is all about?
Oh, it's extremely complicated, as you say. I think a lot of people get lost in the acronym soup, you know, pretty quickly when everybody's throwing around all these words like CEQA and EIRs and all the rest of it. And so, you know, first step is to really actually understand the acronym so you can kind of drill down into what each one of those tools means in the process.
You kind of follow the bouncing ball, as yes. Mitch Miller used to say.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
For somebody who's outside of the government process or interacting with government types, it does kind of seem like it's a foreign language.
It does.
I mean, you go absolutely. To the hospital and probably have just as much recognition of what's going on as you do in some of these meetings because of all those, which lends to its efficiencies in the discussion points, but for somebody else to monitor it, not so much so.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to kind of figure out this new set of acronyms that you're playing with now? You know, you've been in the chair for almost a year.
Yeah.
You still kind of uncovering some of these things?
Well, I've been in the acronym soup game for about 45 years in my natural resource career, and where a lot of these come from, agency initials, DFW, Department of Fish and Wildlife, et cetera.
Not Dallas-Fort Worth?
No, there you go, right? Depends on what airlines you're flying.
Or exactly.
ACV, I'm still waiting for the new acronym for our airport.
Jeez.
But yeah. I think we still call it ACV, don't
Imagine
we?
Imagine that, huh? Yeah. Local culture wins out again.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it does come with time. Sometimes, jokingly, in meetings, we'll require people to put a quarter in the jar every time they use an acronym without explaining it. You know, because it does impede people's ability to understand what's going on. So it is kind of a first step. And in land use planning, a huge amount of acronyms are used. But it's also true, like you said, in the medical profession and other arenas. The good news here is we're not trying to interpret the doctor's scrawl.
So. Yeah, yeah. Very little handwriting associated with that. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, the concept of a project,
mm-hmm.
walking through the process, my rudimentary knowledge, and I'll just kind of leave it there, is somebody wants something done. So you do whatever the research is, and you put together, based on whatever the governmental oversight committees are or entities that are there, A, B, C, D, exhibit, you know, whatever. And then you take it to whatever the governing entity is. And then you get staff approval. And then if need be, the staff gives it to the elected body.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at it. And if you like the outcome, okay. And if somebody doesn't like the outcome, okay, you kick it to another. And you kind of, like in the courts, you have an appeal process. There is a similar parallel in government.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, one of the parts that folks have a hard time understanding is, when is an EIR required? When does it get that intense, right? So many,
well, when do you need to bring the specialist in?
That's right. Yeah. So many projects are so simple and the impacts are so minimal that there's actually a categorical exclusion or an exemption for projects like that. And that might just be simple brushing of a roadside, let's say, to maintain site distances.
You mean like weed whacking?
Reduce fuels and stuff like that. Yeah, that often can be just categorically exempt to go along.
I would never have
thought
that. And
maintain the road.
That
you even need a permit?
Yeah. Why is anybody even thinking about it? It's just kind of like maintaining something.
Well, the way it works in California with CEQA is that if there is a discretionary permit, it triggers CEQA. It's a project at that point. If there is no discretionary permit, in other words, if you're just building a house and all there is a ministerial permit, so we have discretionary versus ministerial. If it's just a ministerial permit, you're just getting a building permit, there's no public hearing, there's no fees for that, you place your plans on the counter, they get approved, you get your permit to build your house.
So it's kind of like complying with whatever regulations are in place already.
So that's the first step. Is it ministerial or is it discretionary? If it's discretionary, if there's an action...
Ad-ministerial.
Yeah.
See, I was hearing ministerial. Going, yeah. Well, we got to bring the priest in town?
Right, sure.
All right.
Oh, boy,
got that
now
one
we're really going to slow it down.
Yeah.
Let's get the church involved, too. So bottom line is, if it's a project, if it's got a discretionary action, then it's defined as a project, and then you've got to decide what level of impact. So you do an initial study, and if that study says, we pretty well can understand what the impacts are here, then it's a negative declaration. Or it might be a mitigated negative declaration. But if we're not able to really wrap ourselves around what all the possible impacts might be, we've got to take a deeper dive, look at more details, hire specialists, look at the wildlife issues, the water issues, other things, and more than likely we're looking at an EIR then or an environmental impact report. And if it's a federal action, it would be an EIS or an environmental impact statement. So in the federal government, you've got NEPA, National Environmental Policy Act, and then in the state government, you've got CEQA or the California Environmental Quality Act.
So if you're looking at that, and it seems to regular guy that, okay, no big deal, I'm putting in a fence.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Right.
We don't do anything. We just do the project.
Right.
Okay. That seems tame enough, but you hear stories periodically of somebody, and let's say, just because it's totally unreal, Maple Creek. Somebody wants to put a fence in, and it's approaching the bridge over the creek. And you do it, and now somebody gets excited. And it's not for the special exemptions like ranching and all that kind of
stuff. That's right.
Somebody gets excited and says, I don't think, you know, I want to be able to see the creek as I'm driving up to the bridge.
Sure.
And now something happens.
Well, at Corners, we do have sightline ordinances. You know,
you see
that in town a lot.
6-foot setback.
You cut back and drop it down to 3 or 4 feet so people can see around that corner. In the coastal zone, there's a lot more restrictions on fencing, even just basic fencing, in terms of coastal views and things. But outside the coastal zone, if you're building a fence, it's 6 feet.
That's why it shows up on Neyland.
Sure. Maple Creek. 6 feet or shorter, building permit. Ministerial, right? If it's higher than 6 feet, you've got to get an engineer involved because it might fall down on somebody. So
I didn't realize you could have fences taller than 6 feet.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Solid ones.
You can, as long as you get it engineered, and then you might have to go through a more intense permit process.
Which would kind of make sense anyway, because
protecting the public safety.
No, I'm thinking wind coefficient. It'll get blown down. The higher it is, obviously, there's more drag.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, if you know, you can't go with a 4x4 that's a 20-footer,
stick
8 feet down and have a 12-foot fence because it's going to do the wobble thing.
It'd be nice if we all just did what was responsible, right?
Well,
didn't need a permit for anything because everybody was just being responsible.
Kind of Well, and that's the thing I see that is most intriguing is that so many of these things must have come from people who either weren't thinking it through.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't a negative, nasty thing. It was just somebody going, oh, I guess I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Make the rule change and go, okay. But you have little guideline books for those.
Yeah, you do.
Sunset or the reference points all over the place. How tall should your fence be?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, so a little bit of research goes a long way in that.
It does. It does. And some things are far more potentially dangerous than others, like digging a big trench. You know, 3 foot deep, probably not a big deal. But when you get over 3 or 4 feet deep, you start putting a human being down in the trench collapses, you got a serious problem, right? So that's where Cal OSHA comes in and says, you got to shore up that trench before you put a human down in there. You know, so these rules have come from experience. Sometimes they get a bit carried away, I would say. But again, you know, using a lot of common sense and being responsible will go a long way.
Yeah. I mean, if that was something you wanted for more of a long-term situation,
Well,
you're going to do something.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it may be the second year and you start to see it starting to cave in a little bit. You go, well, okay, that didn't work out too well.
Yeah, that's right.
Now I'll put something in there to, you know, kind of keep it in place.
Yeah.
So some of that stuff makes sense and I think would be easy enough. The contentiousness comes when it's either gray territory or somebody else says, you know, Steve, I think this is what you should do on your property.
Right.
And I'm your neighbor.
Right.
And then you say, I don't think so.
That's right.
Oh, yeah? We start to walk up the
nice
emotional ladder.
Nice to get along with your neighbors.
Yeah, exactly.
What do they say about fences?
Yeah.
Fences make for good neighbors?
Good neighbors, right. Only if they're permitted.
I guess it depends on the fence. Yeah.
Right? KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Monroe. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, along with Murphy's Markets. Steve, as we start to go through these processes of projects, if it's not an impact or it kind of looks like it's pretty straightforward, fine. You know, and some of us still are kind of scratching our heads about why a water heater needs to be strapped in.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. I mean, it is there. It makes sense. You know, if somebody shares, makes sense. Okay, fine. And then we go down that trail from everybody goes, oh, yeah, to one person says no.
Right.
And everybody else is up in arms.
Yeah.
So I would suppose that that is where committees and commissions come into play so that there's some kind of a point of reference before it gets to drawing guns out on the main street. Avoiding the Wild West.
Yes.
Or, I guess, Chicago.
Okay.
How does somebody who's just a regular guy know when to bring in the experts and when not to? And I say that legitimately because a lot of the experts, if you've got little letters after your name, okay, your level of responsibility and expectation is a whole lot different than regular guy.
That's right.
You know, you've got your licensing at risk and you've got potential professional challenges associated. Yeah. I do it, and you know, there may be a minor fine, and we correct it, and life goes on.
Right.
So, when do you bring in the pros? Because a lot of times the pros start doing things that the regular guy wouldn't necessarily have to.
Yeah, well, I believe a lot in trying to educate myself so I can take these things on in my own world. Try and be as self-motivated and capable through research or online stuff to figure out, talk to friends that are contractors, all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of information out there that you can avail yourself of. You know, bottom line is, I think when you're doing stuff, as long as you're getting along with your neighbors really well and you're not doing something that is going to create a significant impact to them, you can probably do just about anything. you know. But if you piss off your neighbors,
kind of be on both sides of that. If it's a fence, both sides of the fence. Does it look good on that side? Does it look good on this side? Okay, major impact. Nah, okay, good. Then we'll rock and roll, and you talk to them as you're building it.
Yeah, because you know we talk a lot about rights. You know, private property rights. Sovereign rights has come up a lot lately. So these, the idea of rights, I absolutely agree with. We all do have these various rights, and depend on what country you're in. But next to that is the other R word, or responsibility. And so you may have the right to do whatever you want on your property, but when it starts impacting your neighbor, that's not being responsible, right? So trying to figure out that balance to where, you know, you're able to maintain your rights, but also be decent to your neighbors and your community and downstream water users, things like that. So,
I tend to be try to boil things down to simplistic elements.
Yeah.
Ten Commandments, Golden Rule, take your pick. You know, if you were the other guy, would you be okay with that?
That's right.
Okay, you know, and yeah, there are things that you might get twisted about that I don't, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but at least if it's an honest thought, you go, okay, is this going to mess up them? No.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Right. And no matter what faith you subscribe to, I would say that certain tenets like the Golden Rule kind of cross over all those boundaries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's just as a reference, you know, if you were the other guy, would you be okay with it?
Right. That's right.
Yeah. And project yourself in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that you would feel comfortable with in 25 years?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Versus a cut and run kind of a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. How often do you see people retire and then suddenly they do all these things that they wish they could do earlier, but they couldn't because of their boss or the job or other things, but they retired and suddenly, you know, they're out there speaking out on all kinds of things.
Things doing stuff. Yeah. Yeah. That would be the... they have nothing better to do
there
syndrome.
You go.
That's a whole different discussion point.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We do see. And how do you guys and folks on the electeds, I mean, you know who the regulars are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they got an opinion on where the sun should come up.
Sure.
You know, what mountain peak it should come up on instead of the one that it's on.
That's right.
Okay. But every once in a while, there's a gem.
Mm-hmm.
How do you separate the tendency, I don't say that, everybody's tendency, oh, gee, it's Bob again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And mentally take a vacation versus trying to kind of, you know, maybe this is the gem.
Yeah.
This might be the one that's viable out of the 35 he's done. This could be Bob's magic moment. How do you deal with that one? And as
you know, if it's still shiny after the 3-minute buzzer has gone off, I think you're looking pretty good. You
know? Fair enough.
If it's starting to get dull at the 2.5 moment point, then you're probably not in your most golden moment.
Yeah, and if you're to the podium and you see everybody's heads hit the front of the dais,
yes.
Probably overstayed your welcome.
Right.
Need to fall back and refocus. Oh,
the 3-minute clock.
That's right. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, so as you get into the formal process now, you've got your documentation down.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your experts if need be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're doing whatever it is that isn't just the Golden Rule, because it's gone a little bit further.
Yeah.
I would think that public speaking, now, I've read the stuff, I'm sure you've read the stuff too, that says drowning.
Mm-hmm.
Or public speaking, greater fear.
Right.
And for most, it's the public speaking rather than the other. And growing up around this stuff,
sure,
I've never really had that concern. Now, the fear of appearing stupid in public, that's always there. But as far as a mic fright or something like that, I just never entered into my psyche.
Open mouth, insert foot.
often. not a concern. In fact, I like the taste of leather periodically. But for a lot of folks, that is a major hurdle for them to overcome.
That's right.
Is there a way during the commission and the committee level? Mm-hmm. I know that's more informal. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of, round table discussion kind of a thing. But when it comes to the formal side of things, particularly then with an emotional overlay, do you see people kind of frustrated?
Absolutely. Yeah. Folks don't practice public speaking very often. And there's, a huge amount of opportunity growing up in life. I mean, for me, I was an Eagle Scout, a Boy Scout. And my very first merit badge was...
In public speaking?
You got it.
Oh, really?
So,
Who'd you do it in front of?
My scoutmaster and the troop.
Oh, you didn't have to go to like a city council meeting or something?
There was a lot of people. It was a big troop. It was a Catholic troop, and it was a couple hundred people in the audience and gave a little speech.
That's a big enough chunk.
It was definitely the thing to get the butterflies going,
good.
And stuff.
Sweaty palms, the whole nine yards. Okay.
And I have to say, even to this day, in those minutes preceding when you know you're going up because you're scheduled, you're on the agenda or something, you get the butterflies. I don't care how long you've been doing it. For me, it's always the case. So I actually just sit there and start mumbling because I learned a long time ago that when you're nervous like that and you go up to the mic, within a few seconds of using your voice, you lose that, right? If you're, okay with
right,
it.
Right.
And so I actually do that in the audience, and they start looking at me like, that guy's mumbling over there.
Well, I know in theater they do that an awful lot
before
they hit.
You use your voice a little bit, and practice a little bit. So that's been my secret is just, get focused in a little bit, use the voice. If you have to step outside a little bit, and that way you take out that first 5 seconds.
You said a word there that really struck me and that I find a requirement, but is never required.
Mm-hmm.
If I was going to speak in front of the five of you, focus.
Absolutely.
Okay, you got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, you got five people up here, and I don't know what the hourly combined is.
Right.
But 5 minutes, 3 minutes is worth X amount to this community the people that. Don't hem and haw and and get lost and not pay attention. And if there's a question asked, engage. Yeah. Don't ignore. All the normal protocols of just being seem to get lost with some folks. I would have a tough time not trying to bring them back down to a focus point. Okay, sir, you got a minute left. What is it that you're trying to say?
Right. Can you summarize, please?
I guess that's the fancy way of saying it.
What's your point?
What is this? Why are you here?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I try not to write out a speech. I've often found those are the ones that I enjoy the least is having a speech all written out, and then they actually start reading the whole thing. Or I have a PowerPoint, and they show a slide and read every word on that slide.
Nothing's worse than that.
You've read it within a second or two already, and now you've lost your audience, right?
Or you submit it to them.
Yes.
So you don't need to be don't worry about presenting, just talk.
So many speech makers will tell you that the best thing is to write down keywords that will trigger your thoughts.
Bullet points.
And you already know what you want to say. And so those bullet points, those keywords will trigger those thoughts. Then you get on a roll.
Jeez.
Just like this.
I've been doing it all along and didn't know that was the right thing to do. I'm a little
I like your
stunned
notes.
And surprised.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah, exactly. So for folks, if you were going to give them any kind of input on this, be yourself, be natural. Get to the point, and maybe even think about it before you walk into the podium what you want to say.
Yeah, and practice it in the mirror. You're your hardest critic.
if you want that, into a tape recorder.
There you go.
And then listen to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's more sobering than anything can be.
Kind of like what we're doing here today.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. All that rehearsing we do. Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
I think, now this might be
last
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
So. You're not doing any in December, huh?
Well, you may not be anymore. We're only 3 weeks away from Christmas here, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's
so, true. Merry Christmas. We don't see you until then.
Yeah, me and Virginia, I guess, are covering. So.
Yeah. Merry. See everybody tomorrow.